phone calls. We are going to have to do everything in our power.
That was after the Democrats spent millions on a half-hour network TV commercial. There's Philly euphoria in Philly.
I can't believe
too long in the making. We're happy to be here. It's a great night.
I'm never going to forget it.
Celebrating a World Series title, the Phillies beating Tampa Bay, winning a long game delayed since Monday to end a long title drought, though there was some vandalism and arrests afterward. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
There was a time T stood for Talladega, which is still true. But today, T stands for something totally different because the clock is ticking in the chase for the Sprint Cup. This week, T is for a full tilt tussle that's touch and go at times, but always too close to call. This week, T is for tightening up them belts, for a tachometer thump and teeth clenching track deep in the heart of Texas.
The chase continues on ABC, Sunday at 3 Eastern, with the Dickies 500 at Texas.
Hey, you're really not going to another drive-thru for lunch, are you? Well, this is Guy Fieri here telling you to roll up the window and head to TGI Fridays for the right portion, right price menu. It's got everything you want and nothing you don't, like a pepper-crusted pork chop and an amazing roasted pepper sausage and chicken penne. Trust me, your mouth will be thinking about it all week, and it all starts at just $5.99. You get real food, and a real live human being will even take your order. Friday's right portion, right price menu from just $5.99. Give me more Fridays.
Prices and participation may vary. Limited time only.
With the economy now shrinking, the government may be homing in on a new plan to help struggling homeowners.
The idea is to have the government guarantee millions of mortgages in danger of foreclosure to help the homeowners stay in them. The cost would be upwards of $50 billion. But despite reports suggesting otherwise, the White House says it has not decided whether to go forward with the plan. While the president created the Hope Now Alliance to help Americans keep their homes, critics contend millions of Americans who need help are being left out. In Washington, Mike Makowicz, Fox News Radio.
In Syria, there are protests. They are angry, still riled up over Sunday's U.S. raid.
The mood is tense in Damascus. The U.S. embassy closed because of security concerns and is now surrounded by riot police. This as tens of thousands of Syrians gather nearby for a mass anti-U.S. rally, waving flags and banners reading, "Say no to American terrorism." The White House and State Department still not confirming nor denying the attack in Syrian territory near the border with Iraq. Unnamed officials say the target was an al-Qaeda figure, but Syria says that's not true, that civilians were the victims, and Damascus is demanding an apology from America. In the Middle East Bureau, Pia Chattopadhyay, Fox News Radio.
The FBI says media outlets need to be vigilant about opening their mail. A California man's been arrested on suspicion of sending more than 120 hoax letters labeled anthrax. Not all have been delivered. Authorities say the powder inside has been found to be sugar. Talk about helping thy neighbor. An elderly man rescued as his house burned down yesterday in Saugus, Massachusetts. Police officer Paul Van Steensburg got there first.
He wasn't going to get out there himself, and we didn't know how much longer we had to wait for the fire department to get there.
So he yelled for anyone to grab a ladder, and neighbors did, and they came out and helped out, and authorities were able to climb up to the second floor, get the 84-year-old out. The man was uninjured, but the home was destroyed. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
You're listening to 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com, the official stations of New Rock City, the place where you can enjoy a wholesome family entertainment experience.
Updated weather forecast in Westchester County and vicinity. A little bit of cloud cover to start, otherwise becoming mostly sunny. Our highs today will range into the upper 40s, near 50 degrees. Winds will be out of the northwest at 10 to 15. They'll be gusting to 25. At night, mostly clear areas of frost overnight. Nighttime lows down into the upper 20s, north to the mid-30s. And daytime on Friday, early clouds, then sunshine. Our highs for Halloween up to near 60. Looks like dry weather at night. Evening temperatures will generally range near 50 with overnight lows in the mid-40s. There's a possibility of a sprinkle or shower on Saturday, otherwise partly sunny with our highs near 60. Sunday's weather, sunshine, lower 50s. And on Monday and Tuesday, sunny weather each day. It'll reach the mid-50s on Monday, near 60 on Election Day Tuesday. I'm Eddie Rogers, Steve Feltieri for Whitney Media, WVOX, WVIP.
The latest forecast from the 1460 WVOX Weather Center, brought to you by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
At Entergy, meeting our region's need for reliable, affordable, and clean electricity is an everyday success story. That's because our Indian Point Energy Center supplies up to 38% of the region's power needs. It also produces some of the least expensive power generated in the region. And most importantly, it does not produce greenhouse gas emissions. That's right, zero greenhouse gases. This plays a key role in helping this area improve its air quality. So it should come as no surprise that a growing number of environmentalists, including Dr. Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, say nuclear power is a vital tool in the fight against global warming. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.safesecurevital.com. Because the more you know, the more you realize that Indian Point's clean, reliable, and affordable energy is a big part of the climate change solution.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of Tommy Manville, George Finelli, Harry Caldwell, and the Soundshore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours. Media 1460 WVOX presents Environmentally Sound with environmental activist Bob Lebensold. Join Bob and his guests as they talk about protecting our most precious resource, the environment. Now, here's Bob Lebensold.
Good morning, and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold, your host for this series on the natural world, education, and culture. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, October 30th, 2008, the 38th day of autumn. We have lost 2 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 17 minutes since last week. The sun rose 7:24 this morning. It will set at 5:53 this evening. We will have 10 hours and 29 minutes of daylight today. Daylight time ends this Sunday, November 2nd, and it is less than 2 months to the winter solstice, which is the shortest day of the year, and the first day of winter on which we will have 9 hours and 13 minutes, which is a full hour and 16 minutes less than today. The moon rose a half hour ago at about 9:15, a little less than a half hour ago. It will set at 6:28 this evening, which means, you guessed it, we are just about at new moon phase. The actual day of the new moon was early yesterday morning. Now, you know this because the rise time is during daylight, 9:15 this morning, and as is the set time, 6:28 this evening, so we will get no glimpse of the moon in the night sky, and that is what defines the new moon. The next full moon, which you know is the one we see in all its glory, will occur on November 13th. Next high tides in New Rochelle at 12:35 p.m., so it's getting up there right now. In Yonkers at 11:08, 1 hour from now. Dobbs Ferry, 11:36. Tarrytown, 11:52. And Harrisdraw, the next one is 11:52 a.m., which is soon. Okay, our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives in Iraq. May they live on in all of our hearts. As of a week ago, let's not do that. Most recent report of American deaths in Iraq and Afghanistan, 4,188 have been killed, and at least 30,757 have been wounded in action. Today's casualties, Private First Class Cody J. Eggleston, age 21, of Eugene, Oregon, died on October 24th in a hospital in Bethesda, Maryland. The incident that killed him was October 16th. He caught indirect fire in Bakuba, Iraq. Staff Sergeant Brian P. Howes, age 29, from Stoystown, Pennsylvania. The population of Stoystown was listed as 395. It is now 394. His non-combat medical cause at Balad Air Base in Iraq. I always say this, and no one's ever called to enlighten me. I don't know what non-combat causes are. These are American soldiers, American servicemen, Marines, Navy, whatever, in an overseas location where there's a war going on. What is non-combat? On the date of our last broadcast, it was the day that Sergeant House died, October 23rd. Special is Dion L. Taylor, age 30, from the Bronx, our own neighbor in the Bronx. He was a member of the New York Army National Guard. Bet he didn't join that thinking he was going to war. He died of a roadside bomb, which exploded in Bella Baluk, Afghanistan, on October 22nd. Lance Corporal Stacy A. Dryden from the Marines, age 22, North Canton, Ohio, a non-hostile incident in Anbar Province on October 19th. And in Afghanistan, two Marines, Corporal Adrian Robles, age 21, from Scottsbluff, Nebraska, and Lance Corporal San Sim, 23, of Santa Ana, California, both Marines were killed in Helmand Province, it says Afghanistan, on October 22nd during combat operations. May these American servicemen live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the very near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Now, generally, I would put my review in right now. It's a Broadway play called Speed the Plow, David Mamet's, but our guest probably won't be able to stay till the end of the hour, so I would like to get him on as soon as possible. Let me just say that you are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. This is Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold. And if you are listening in Orange County, California, or New York, the Moosehead Lake region of Maine, the Lake District, Liverpool, Leeds, or London in England, or Edinburgh, Scotland, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. And you are listening live. And my guest today is Greg Palast, investigative reporter par excellence, a man who finds humor in almost anything, no matter how grim it may be. He sometimes unsettles me when we're talking about something serious and he just makes an offhand remark. But that does not in any way detract from his fine work. I'm not sure if it's a gift or a curse, but in any case, he does the good work when and where it counts. Good morning and welcome, Greg Palast.
Hey, Bob. Glad to be back with you.
How are you? My great pleasure. Where are you right now?
Well, I'm in the wilds of New York, downtown.
You're downtown Manhattan.
Downtown, and I'll be heading up, for those not far from it, to New Paltz tonight at 7 p.m. in New Paltz, SUNY, with Amy Goodman will be speaking.
Ah, so that's what's happening up there. Yeah, I've had Amy on this program, too. Amy actually is harder to interview than you are. You listen and you respond. She just goes on a tear.
You got to love it, man.
You got to love it, but you're on right now. Now, Greg, I looked up, obviously I did some research. I looked up your pictures on the web, and I see a picture of someone that in your group that has wearing a naval uniform. Were you in the Navy, or is this some other Greg Palast?
No, I was not in the Navy. However, I should say that, for example, our tour director is a career military. We also have a son of a career JAG has been working with us. So yeah, we have a lot of ex-military. Basically, it seems like we're pulling people that do the undercover work with me to have the stamina for this investigative reporting. Our ex-military and ex-punk rockers seem to be, and a couple of ex-porn stars. I don't take any journalism school graduates, so sorry, put away that resume if you're at the Columbia Journalism School.
But if you're an ex-porn star, you can send it.
Yeah, that's the only prejudice I have, is I don't want anyone poisoned by bad American habits of pseudo-journalism. So I've been committing journalism this month, and getting ready for the theft. Grand theft.
Yeah, well, that's what we want to talk about.
Sure.
But let me just go through these pictures.
Sure.
There's also a picture
great.
Of you being manhandled by a couple of cops. You're wearing a blue shirt and a kind of a yellowish tie. You know the photo I'm talking about?
Oh, I think it's a great Photoshop. I was busted by a. Well, actually, I have been actually grabbed a few times. But I don't know which one you're looking at. But I do have. I was charged by Homeland Security with violating the anti-terror laws.
Well, this cop here looks like a football fullback. I would not want to be manhandled by him. You know, I wouldn't have to be.
The one, that was, could have been in Brazil or something. I'm trying to remember.
Well, he's wearing blue.
It's probably Photoshopped. I got a lot. just to add some drama to my otherwise dull career.
Maybe I'll just send you this photo and you can judge for yourself. You also pictured with Michael Moore, the great filmmaker, and RFK, of course, Robert F. Kennedy, with whom you wrote this book. Steal Back Your Vote, this comic book. Which
comic
is,
book, that's right.
It's wonderfully done. It's so much easier to read, and it just cuts right to the chase. So now you say, am I getting ready for the theft? Well, I think most Americans don't know what you're talking about. I do, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What theft are you talking about?
Okay, we are, just a little background. In 2000, I'm the reporter that discovered how Catherine Harris and Jeb Bush knocked thousands of voters off the voter rolls, calling black voters, calling them felons. Their only crime was voting while black. Now, that was how the White House was swiped in 2000. Kennedy did a masterful job of looking at the theft of 2004 in Ohio. So we teamed up to ask the question, are they going to steal the vote in 2008? And our answer was no. They're not going to steal it. They've already stolen it. Now, what I mean by that is that there has been a massive attack on voter rights, a massive attack on the voter rolls, completely unreported by the U.S. press, but covered up with this cockamamie story about Acorn and fraudulent voters and Mickey Mouse, and no one has yet seen a cartoon rodent in line to vote. So what's happened in America is under the charade, or charade as we say in Britain, and under the charade that we're hunting out and eliminating fraudulent voters from the voter rolls, 2.7 million people have had their registrations purged from the voter rolls in swing states, 2.7 million on the pretext that they're rooting out fraudulent voters, and the number of fraudulent voters who've been convicted or confessed.
Zero.
24, actually, over 4 years. 24 out of 178 million voters, and the worst state for the purges, the Colorado, the Florida-Ohio combo of 2008 is Colorado, where the Republican Secretary of State announcing she's going after massive fraud. The Republican Secretary of State, Danetta Davidson, removes one in five voters, 19.4% of the voter rolls. No one took note of this. The Denver Post, instead of writing about 19.4% of the votes gone missing, wrote stories about hundreds and hundreds of illegal voters, felon voters, fraudulent voters, dead voters, and I wrote them for BBC Television, for Rolling Stone. So what happened to all these big cases? Was there any convictions? The answer is not one, but they never reported that. They did a whole series on fraudulent and illegal voters, not one conviction. And let me tell you that the Bush administration is hunting for these people. They don't let them off the hook. So we wrote this comic book, Steal Back Your Vote, because it's not too late to steal back the election legally. That is, there's several ways to overcome it. Of course, the obvious way to overcome it is to just overwhelm the theft. In other words, we're pretty accurate that the minimum number of votes stolen will be 3 million, maximum 6 million. So all you have to do, Bob, is vote 7 million times and the problem is solved.
Well, let me ask you a question. What is the demographic of these 19.4%?
Ah, you've asked the question that now you can never work for an American newspaper because you've asked an intelligent question. Yeah, if it's random, it's no
balances.
Problem. But it's nothing but random. I used to be a statistician. I used to teach statistics, and went through the statistics of the purges in New Mexico, where 1 in 9 Democrats are missing. It's exactly proportional to the number of Hispanics and non-Anglos in New Mexico, which is basically Hispanics and Indians. That's where your purges are.
And they're easy to recognize because of their names.
And not only that, but in Florida, when they did the felon purge in Florida. Florida actually lists the person's race next to their name, so they know exactly who they're removing. And, for example, this time in Florida, one of the other steals is something called verification. You used to fill out a registration form, you're registered. It was automatic. Automatic in the United States. If you fill out a registration form, you are registered because you're signing it under penalty of imprisonment if you're lying. Now secretaries of state can say, oh, we don't like your signature. We can't verify it against the database. All kinds of junk. Now, someone has signed a form saying, if I'm lying, I go to jail. Arrest me. But instead of arresting people, which they would love to do if they found false ones, because they're not fraudulent voters. They are not. They're still removing thousands. In Florida, they blocked the registrations of 85,000 people. And who were they? The people that registered at voter drives done by the churches, organized by Jesse Jackson. Almost all these are African-American voters, 85,000 blocked.
And that's this year?
That's this year in Florida.
Who is the Secretary of State down there?
Again, you have a Republican Secretary of State that was appointed by Jeb Bush and now has been announced Charlie Crist.
How do they get away with such blatant, felonious fraud?
It is felonious. Well, I asked Bobby Kennedy, whose daddy was Bobby Kennedy Sr.,
right,
Attorney General of the United States.
And whose uncle was president.
And he said, his uncle was president. And he said, you know, if my father were here, these people would be, you know, these secretaries of state would be cuffed, read their rights. We did it. I mean, he did. Let's not forget that Bobby Kennedy busted, arrested, got in the way of Democratic secretaries of state who blocked black voters. Remember, it used to be the Democratic Party. He was proud of the fact that he actually went after the vote thieves who were mostly Democrats in the 60s. It was the Democrats who were stealing the votes in the 60s. Now it's reversed, and it's Republicans. Now, I'm not partisan. I got to tell you, I'm not a Democrat.
We know that.
Decidedly not a Democrat. And this, by the way, the Steal Back Your Vote voter guide is, which you can get, the comic, you can download for free, by the way, at stealbackyourvote.org. It is nonpartisan, which means you can take it into the polling place with you as a guide to help you out. Not only tells the story of the theft, but it gives you the 7 steps to steal back your vote. But yeah, you're right. These are lawbreakers. The problem is, as he says, the felons are the police. The felons are the Justice Department. He said, now I spoke with David Iglesias. Now David Iglesias is one of the former prosecutors who was fired by Bush.
Right.
Now Iglesias has been and is today a strong Republican. He's a huge McCain supporter. But he said his party is trying to steal this election. He said he doesn't blame McCain. He says, I'm sure that McCain won't stand for this. I'm not sure about his view of that, but okay. I don't have any evidence that McCain's involved in any way. But it is deliberate. And what he's saying is that he was given a list of over 100 names of so-called fraudulent ACORN registered voters and other fraudulent registered voters. He chased all over New Mexico with the FBI, and said that there were no fraudulent voters, not a single one in New Mexico, not a single case. He said, if I had found one, I would have prosecuted it. Believe me, he says, it's a complete fraud. It's a lie. And what these people did, he said, they even tried to pressure him to arrest people who are innocent. He said, what they have done is committed crimes. But the problem is, it's the Justice Department itself. So what? It's like when the cops, when the cops are stealing, who's going to arrest them?
Okay, so are you saying that Barack Obama has no chance to win the presidency because
not
it's been
all
stolen?
You know, and one of the things is, I know the Obama campaign really hates the name of our comic book, Steal Back Your Vote. Oh, people will think that the election's stolen, they'll give up. First of all, the number one thing at this moment that they have to worry about is overconfidence. They're already, people are already dressing for the inaugural.
I know, that's very dangerous. And Barack himself says, don't do that. Get out there.
Yeah, so
keep working until the last
minute. I'm not a Barack Obama supporter, but I believe that everyone should vote. Now, the other thing, so number one, I want to let you know that nothing is a lock by any means, because like the Rasmussen poll only shows Obama up by 2% if you figure in what they call the likely voters. I don't call them likely voters. They're likely to have their vote counted voters. 3 million people are going to show up at the polls and find their names missing. I'm being deluged with emails from people saying, my name is missing, I'm not there, they said I haven't voted, I'm removed, I'm purged. It's flooding in.
Really?
Okay, now.
Already?
Yeah. And so what's happening, okay, so we say steal back your vote because, number one, they can't steal all the votes all the time. Number two, there's steps you can take. New York is not as far from the worst state. We do suggest you vote early. I know if you call up New York voting office, they'll say you can't vote early. That's not true. You can walk into the county voting elections office, ask for an absentee ballot up to the day before the election, and fill it out right there and hand it back. The reason I suggest that is that you can then determine if there's a problem with your registration, your ID, anything. By the way, if you're a new voter in a lot of states, you have to put in a photocopy of your ID. This is brand new. in a lot of states. And you can't put it in the envelope with the ballot. You got to put it in the separate envelope and inside the outer ballot, but not inside the inner ballot.
So all this
crazy.
They make confusing
deliberately
to disenfranchise the lower education people who are
lower
less likely
people.
To really understand.
It doesn't take a lot of education to vote.
Nope.
Let me tell you something.
People are easily frustrated, perhaps.
With my host, I do an Air America show, who's a lawyer. We've queried 15 lawyers, including voting rights experts, on the law, for example, on felon voting. You know, they'd say, and not one lawyer has got it right. Not one lawyer. Not one Secretary of State that I've talked to even knows their law of their own state.
Well, actually, in most states, once you've done your time, you can vote again.
That's
anyway.
Right. And in New York, it's really complicated. In New York, in fact, I hate to say it, this is the area I'm supposed to be an expert on. You know, there's probation and there is what's
parole.
Parole. Okay. If you are on one or the other, you can still
parole
vote.
Is you've already done some time and you're out early under watchful eyes. Probation is in lieu of going to prison.
Right. So anyway, you can vote in New York if you served your time, and either probation or parole, I don't know which it is, you can still vote as well. Of course, if you're in jail and you haven't been convicted, if you have a misdemeanor, it doesn't matter. Most people in New York, most people who've been convicted of a crime, you have something on your record, don't know that they can vote. Very few people who've been convicted know they can vote. And God forbid the Democratic Party should tell them they should vote. And by the way, Democrats don't like to hear this. 83% plus of people who've been convicted of felony crimes vote Democratic when they get out. Doesn't matter what they go, what they were when they went in, they come out Democrats.
That's interesting.
And there's 8 million unregistered ex-cons who have the right to vote in America who are not registered. Like that?
Well, do they know or they just don't care?
They don't know. They don't know, and the officials constantly block them. The Secretary of State of Colorado has just knocked off thousands of felon voters, even though they're allowed to vote in Colorado. The New Mexico, I was there, there was the hullabaloo, front page of the paper, ex-cons trying to vote in New Mexico. The Republican Party, registered by Acorn, I kid you not. And then when I went to a county elections official, they said, well, no, it's not true. We're not registering the people. They have a big stamp that says felon. I said, take a look at the law. Felons can vote. Not only can felons vote, when they get out of prison, they're supposed to get a registration form.
So they must know this. They're not dumb. They're just trying to subvert the law.
Two groups. There are those who are deliberately trying to subvert the law, okay? And they are both Democrats and Republicans. And then there's some who really don't know. Actually, this one county clerk who's actually a big fan of mine and reads my books says, gee, I didn't know. And the top voting rights expert in New Mexico didn't know the law. I mean, it is so complicated. But I'm not letting people off the hook. For the most part, these are the people who are running these campaigns. They know the law. And they are deliberately blocking the vote. When you talk about machine glitches, for example, 1.4 million votes were lost last time to machine error.
Greg, let's hold that thought. We're gonna take a little break. Mm-hmm. And your favorite people, Fox News, are going to come on and give about 5 minutes, and then we'll come back to you. You are listening to Environmentally Sound on WVOX AM 1460, originating in New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Levinsohl, your host, and my guest is the very, very great American, Greg Palast, and he will be back with us in just a couple of minutes.
This is the flagship station of Whitney Media, 1460 WVOX and worldwide at WVOX.com. Now, the latest update from Fox News Radio.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lori London. Rally on Wall Street, the Dow up 119 points, could be from yesterday's rate cut, surely not from today's numbers on economic growth.
Economy actually shrank in the third quarter. GDP decreased at a 0.3% annual rate.
Fox senior business correspondent Brenda Butner says it wasn't as bad as expected. 5 days until we pick a new president on Senator McCain's agenda.
A full day on the campaign bus, starting in the farmland of Toledo, ending in coal country of Youngstown. Along the way, more stops at small Ohio towns and businesses.
Fox Radio's Rich Johnson with the McCain campaign. Senator Obama hits three swing states today after a round of Florida rallies yesterday.
The rallies followed by a one-man television blitz hosting a 30-minute infomercial, making an appearance on The Daily Show and sharing the stage with former President Clinton at a late-night rally.
Fox Radio's Todd Starnes with the Obama camp. Fox News, we report, you decide.
If you're not facing your mortgage issues, this can be the most terrifying sound in the world. It means you've fallen behind. It means hope is dwindling. It means you're another call closer to losing your home to foreclosure. Fortunately, there's hope. If you need real help and guidance, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing. A public service announcement brought to you by NeighborWorks, the ad council in this station.
This is Marilyn Caselli from Con Edison. Energy costs are higher this year, due mainly to increases in the price of fuel. If you have concerns about paying your bill, call us at 1-800-75-CONED. Ask about our level payment plan and other payment options that can help. You may also qualify for help from the Federal Home Energy Assistance Program. Call 1-800-75-CONED or visit coned.com for details.
Con Edison, on it.
Garrido Manor in New Rochelle reminds everyone to please drive safely, sensibly, and above all, defensively, especially around our parks, playgrounds, schools, and crosswalks. Remember, when a car hits a car, that's an accident, but when a car hits a child, that's a tragedy. This message brought to you by Garrido Manor at Union Square, affordable senior housing with lifestyle service. Call Garrido Manor in New Rochelle at 914-636-4200. That's 914-636-4200.
Family. Isn't that what it's all about? Being together, having fun, laughing, enjoying? Where can you go in Westchester with your entire family and encompass all those things? Well, there's one place, and if you haven't already guessed, it's New Rock City in New Rochelle. Everything is made to order for you and your family to enjoy. Whether it's 18 movie theaters or a 17-lane bowling alley, miniature golf, pool and billiards, video arcades, family restaurants, kids parties to delight all ages, New Rock City has it all for you and yours. Family fun is back in style again, and New Rock City is simply the best thing to happen for families in Westchester County. They've made it their business to make your comfort level exactly that. Comfortable by being together and having a fun time. New Rock City, a place you'll want to go back to time and time again, right in the heart of New Rochelle. Just take I-95 to exit 16 or take the Hutchinson River Parkway. New Rock City, where family fun is waiting for you.
Here's the updated weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity. We start off with generally fair skies. We do have a little bit of patchy cloud cover, but the trend will be towards mostly sunny conditions and high temperatures today. Only ranging in the upper 40s, close to 50 degrees. For tonight, fair to partly cloudy. Expect nighttime low temperatures averaging back into about the upper 20s, so it will be quite chilly. And our weather for tomorrow features a good amount of sunshine and high temperatures for the day, right around 60 on Halloween. Fair to partly cloudy at night. Lows back into the lower 40s. Current outlook right now, daytime on Saturday. Partly sunny, might be a sprinkle or a shower with our highs near 60 degrees. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for Whitney Media, WVOX, WVIP.
WVOX.
Now, back to celebrating our environment. This is Environmentally Sound with environmental activist Bob Lebensold on 1460 WVOX. Once again, here's Bob Lebensold.
Thank you very much. We are actually celebrating our electoral system, our constitution today. You are listening to AM 1460 WVOX. We are coming to you from New Rochelle, New York. If you are listening in Tamarack, Fort Lauderdale, or Miami Beach, Florida, Mansfield Center, or New Haven, Connecticut, or if you're an inmate at San Quentin, California, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, or Attica, New York, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. Before we get back to Greg Palast, I would just like to tell you about my friends at the Learning Shop. Friends they are. They bring you this program in part, and their telephone number, if you need them, is 914-835-1070. The Learning Shop is where you send your kids when they need to improve their understanding of school subjects for any number of reasons. Perhaps they just don't get a certain subject. Is everyone good at math? No. At the Learning Shop, if a student struggles with math or science or really any other subject, state-certified teachers work with them generally one-on-one and patiently bring them along, and I go there often. I know what they do. I see what they do. This is not just ad copy I'm reading. They sit with the kids. They help the kids, and the kids learn. You can reach them at 914-835-1070. That's the Learning Shop in Harrison, New York. We're speaking with Greg Palace. You're still with us, Greg, right?
I'm absolutely with you.
Okay, let me read you something. You'll probably recognize it. I'll identify it as soon as I do. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. The Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. And, of course, you recognize that as the 15th Amendment to the United States Constitution.
Oh, that's so pre-9/11, isn't it?
Well, last I looked, we do not have a new amendment that eliminates that. And what this is the United States Constitution. It says the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by anybody. So
yeah,
that's not happening.
Except that in 2002, George Bush signed something called the Help America Vote Act.
Yeah.
And you know what happens when Bush helps us vote?
I do.
There goes the 15th Amendment. And so what's happening is that, you know, again, secretaries of state, when you register, they can knock out your vote saying we haven't verified you against a citizenship databases. Of course, the problem with that, by the way, Bob, is that there are no citizenship databases in the United States. They don't exist. We're not the Soviet Union, so these things never... So you have a third of the names never match. It's not, we don't have 2.7 million people purged. They're not 2.7 million fraudulent voters. They just have the wrong skin color. And I don't care who's running for president. We have a massive apartheid voting system going on.
But
I do want, by the way, I'm going to have to give a pitch for it. Steal back your vote, which is free,
sure.
Nonpartisan, set up by a not-for-profit organization. StealBackYourVote.org. That's the comic book. It's so grim. If you don't get a laugh out of this, then I give up.
But it says right here, Greg, the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state. I would think that if they were going to purge anybody and deny anybody, they would immediately arrest them and try them for felonious charges. Otherwise, they're just assuming that they committed a crime before they allow them to vote. So there's no reason to suspect that they're illegitimate voters. I mean, how do they get away with this? Is this America?
How do they get away with it?
Is this America?
Have you seen Obama complain about it? Have you seen the Democratic Party complain about it? Very little. I mean, they did. I was very heartened when Obama campaign actually did hire Justin Levitt, who is the number one anti-suppression attorney in the United States. Fantastic. And he rolled immediately into action and stopped the GOP, filing a suit to stop the GOP from challenging the right to vote of people who've had their homes foreclosed. They're going to say, okay, well, you don't have that address legitimately anymore, so you can't use that as your registration address. You can't vote. By the way, if you've moved, like, for example, I'm registered at a different address than where I live right now. I'm still voting. I have an absolute right to vote, and no one's going to take that away from me. You can vote. You don't lose your vote because you move or because you lose your house, by the way. You're still a citizen. You know, your citizenship does not expire with your address. Okay, people don't know these things, don't stand up for their rights, so they will attack people and say, aha, fraudulent voter, they're not voting from their mailing address. This is one of the things we tell you in Steal Back Your Vote, which, by the way, if you want hard copies, you can go to the site, too. We send it to you for the cost of mail. Like a nonprofit group, let me know. I'll send shipping. I'll even pay the shipping.
What is the website again, Greg?
It's stealbackyourvote.org. Stealbackyourvote.org or gregpalast.com if you want to send me a note saying, I need the print copies for free. Even on the website, you can download it for free. No problem. You want to make a donation? Great, because we're sending these things to New Mexico, Colorado, Florida. Again, it's nonpartisan. I'm not here to save Barack Obama. He can save himself. He'll do fine. I'm here to make sure that the people who get shafted, and again, who is it? No group is more vulnerable right now than Native Americans. That's a big vote. That's a swing vote in New Mexico. When in 2004, George Bush, everyone talks about Ohio, but George Bush supposedly won New Mexico by 5,000 votes. Not counting 33,000 votes, and then about a third of those were uncounted Native American votes, which are basically 100% Democrats. They go after those Native votes, and you know who goes after them?
The Republican Party?
No, the Democrats.
Oh, no.
Because what's happened is that you have these pueblos and reservations that if they all got to vote in a concentrated group, they would take over all the local towns. And the Democratic local officials in these areas don't want no Indians running their towns.
Well, they got to be citizens, right? They're certainly Native Americans.
They go to war. They, you know, it's one of the highest in terms of what's amazing to me. Like when I was at the Taos Pueblo, where they just do everything to stop the folks there from voting. Every morning, the veterans, and everyone's a veteran, they raise the flag, the American flag, every morning. I said, they raise the flag every morning, but then they throw away your votes in the afternoon. I said, that's right. They say, yeah. you know, they understand. They're no fools. They understand what's going on here.
Yeah.
But in the case, for example, the Acoma Pueblo, 300 Native Americans lost their vote because the Democrats purged their names illegally off the voter rolls.
Huh.
It's the one case, by the way, David Iglesias, the prosecutor, did bring a case against the local Democratic officials for illegally purging the votes of Native Americans. Then they were given provisional ballots when you show up. Oh, my name's not here. Okay, here's a provisional ballot. They threw out the provisional ballots because provisional ballots require a special envelope. The officials don't give them the envelope. So they say, well, we're throwing out your ballots because you don't have the envelope.
Well, one of your seven ways to steal back your vote is vote unconditionally, not provisionally.
Yeah, in New York, don't take a provisional ballot. The only, if your name is absolutely, utterly missing from the voter rolls, you really have no choice. And then they're going to throw it out, but you might as well pretend.
Well, are they going to throw them all out?
Oh, yeah. If you're voting provisionally, kiss it goodbye. Officially, they throw out 1 in 3. But if your name is not on the voter rolls, it will not be counted. That's a guarantee. They just give it to you to get you the heck out of there. Now, if they have a dispute with you over your ID or over your address under no condition except a provisional ballot, call our 800 number. Bobby Kennedy will be there or some other lawyer will send along at stealbackyourvote.org. It's in the comic book. You can bring it with you. Or just at gregpalace.com, download the 7 steps by themselves. Take it with you. It's nonpartisan. You can bring it in. And, you know, unless you have those Bob for President buttons, you're not allowed to wear those.
I'm not running.
You're running
Greg.
Away.
Greg.
Right. So yeah. So this is the deal. Stealbackyourvote.org, and get the skinny on the story. And you can also see our BBC television report on the theft of the election. Doesn't matter if Obama wins or loses. Votes are being shoplifted, stolen by the millions, and it is again the dispossessed, the lower income people, poor people. We're getting it in the neck. And I fear a government elected without all Americans voting, because you see what happens. You know, the Wall Street Journal had a great line after all these people died in China in the last earthquake, big earthquake. And they said, elected governments don't let their citizens die. And they're right. That's why we had New Orleans.
That's why we had New
Orleans. Because we had an unelected junta. That's why we have
exactly.
Iraq, because
exactly.
We have an unelected junta in Washington running a criminal operation out of the Justice Department. It's just that simple. I mean, I'm not being hysterical about it. And I'd like to see that end. And electing a Democrat may not necessarily be the end. We need to restore democracy, not just Democrats. That's not the game.
Well, okay, but our best shot at that is to give Obama a shot, because John McCain is obviously, while seems to be a fairly decent guy, he's old school.
I'm working with two great crusaders for voting rights. Bobby Kennedy, like every Kennedy, a true blue Democrat. David Iglesias, a dyed-in-the-wool Republican McCain supporter. These are stand-up people. I'm neither of those parties, and I'm no party. And I would say that the big problem we do have, I'm very concerned that we still maintain a controlling elite that does not want everyone to participate. Obviously, Obama himself, who expressed to my co-writer that he's very worried about the integrity of the vote. By the way, Howard Dean, the chairman of the Democratic Party, is one of the few politicians in America who actually understands the issue of vote suppression. Not that he can get anyone in his party to take note, but he understands it well. He's praising the comic book yesterday, by the way, Steal Back Your Vote. But so it may be, what I'm hoping is that if there is a new regime, is that obviously if Obama's in, you will absolutely have a cleaning out of the vermin out of the Justice Department.
Well,
and I would hope that McCain would have the gumption to do so himself if some miracle happens and he and he wins. Or worse, I would hate to see him elected by disenfranchising millions. If that's how he's elected, then we don't need.
That'll be bad. There is at least one other organization that's publicizing this. Catherine Colbert, you know her, of the People for the American Way.
People for the American Way. Very good. Norman Lear, who is a supporter of our work, has founded People for the American Way, is excellent.
Okay, and Catherine Colbert is the president of that now, and she is very aware of the vote stealing and she's and the voter suppression, really. And she is also pumping that up very much. So you're not the only one.
Absolutely not. But unfortunately, it's not coming from the – she's nonpartisan.
You are.
Yeah, People for the American Way, and so am I. And I just would like to see the parties commit to the concept that every vote should count every time.
Do you think that's likely to happen?
Well, two things. I don't see the Democrats defending votes, but not much active attack on the vote there. Unfortunately, the Republican Party, and again, this is nonpartisan, this is just the facts, ma'am, Karl Rove ran an operation called caging, which has now been taken over by a lot of Republican officials, where they mail letters to your registered address, registration address, and if do not forward. If the letter comes back, they challenge your vote, saying you're a fraudulent voter because you're not living at your address. We sent the letter and it came back.
Well, and of course, these letters go to projected Democratic.
Yes, but
voters.
Here's who's not home when they get who's a legal voter but not home.
Yes, the military.
Soldiers. They were sending it to soldiers overseas. They're sending it to Black students at colleges in August.
Well, we know Karl Rove. We know what he is. And yes. I think Newt Gingrich probably was guilty back in his day. He met his fate as well. He I think, wrote the original manual for how to suppress votes and how to win by dirty tricks, didn't he?
Well, I mean, no, the Democrats wrote that, the Jim Crow laws. But but what Gingrich did is that he adopted, and Rove, what they did was they adopted old Jim Crow tactics created by the Democrats and kind of put them in cyberspace, gave them a computer edge, and adopted them to the 21st century. And the Republicans have run a concerted, deliberate mass attack on the right to vote. And Karl Rove, who is now ducking a subpoena from John Conyers' committee, and Conyers is one of the few people who really understands this inside and out, ducking those subpoenas, but in a better world, whether it's, it is actually Iglesias' view that McCain, if given his druthers, would have Rove in leg irons. I don't know about that. I do know that, I would like to speak to Mr. Rove about this, but, I will be there when he's read his rights in a better world.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I saw the movie W, and he is portrayed as just a sycophantic. I guess you call him a genius. I guess you have to.
He is.
Political genius. And all he doesn't even care about the ideologies. He just cares about getting his guys in.
Yeah, and that's one of the problems. This new thing of, instead of convincing people to vote for your guy, is basically setting the rules so that your opponents can't win. And it's always the same people. It's the, it's like Santiago Juarez, who was a leader of the Hispanic community and the lowrider community in New Mexico, where the vote is getting mashed there. Says, look, why is it any different? In our community, they give us bad hospitals. They give us terrible schools. They're suddenly going to give us good voting machines. They're suddenly going to give us the right to vote. They don't give us the right to anything. it would be a big shift if they gave us the right to vote. So we don't expect it, but we fight for it. That's why I wrote the comic. So, he's taken 2,000 of the comic books, Steal Back Your Vote. So you can get one, too, stealbackyourvote.org. These comic books, by the way, are not kiddie books. They are very sophisticated.
Oh yes.
Illustrated investigative reporting with a two-page pullout.
Absolutely.
On the seven steps. To
Greg, would you like to hear from a caller?
Actually,
I've
got to go.
Off? Okay, it's a great pleasure to have you on again, Greg. But this interview will be posted on my website, environmentallysound.org. You can listen to it. You and everybody else can listen to it, in a few days for the rest of your lives.
What a pleasure.
Okay, Greg, it is my great pleasure to have you on, and be well. Okay, do we have a caller? Good morning, caller.
It is my great pleasure to
That's the tape. Let's have the caller. Okay, we're fighting with the board a little bit. We'll get it. But while we're doing that, I'd like to to read something else to you. I'd like to read something that just let you hear it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. That is from the Declaration of Independence, written by our founding fathers, speaking about King George V, I guess, of England. I don't know. Do we have a fact check there? I think it was George. Caller, are you there?
I'm still here.
Good morning. That sounds like Mr. Kim. Do I have you?
You have me correctly. That's what it is, yes.
What do you got to say, sir?
This is overwhelmingly a Republican orchestration. They started in the 1920s, making registration difficult for the immigrants, because in those days they were all voting Democratic. The Republican governors have refused to go along with motor voter laws. They were taken to court. They were forced to do it. Yes, in the old days, people like Johnson were involved in some voter fraud, but voter fraud. These people have all are Dixiecrats, and they all became Republicans. So this is a product of red state Republican culture. And we have to call this, as Truman did. He said there's a fascist streak in American culture.
This no question.
This is fascistoid behavior. It's not democratic. It's anti-democratic. It subverts the democratic process, and therefore we have to call it fascistoid in its nature. They call us socialists. They call us not interested in the safety of America. These are undemocratic smears. So we have the right to use a label which is, in fact, accurate on them.
Okay, I buy that. I agree kind of with Greg that the Democrats are not above that. I think the Republicans are more guilty of it right now in American history, and that's, I would say, due to the influence of this administration that's in Washington right now that's about to leave. I don't think the Democrats are any more honorable. I think politicians in general, not to denigrate all, because there are some very decent ones. I know some of them. Some of our local guys and gals are really upstanding public servants. But in general, they are opportunists. Politicians are opportunists. They like the job. They like the money. They like the prestige. And even a guy like Michael Bloomberg, who mayor of New York, he likes the job so much, even though the money has nothing to do with it. He's trying to squeeze his way. Well, he's really a Democrat.
No, he's really a Republican.
He's registered Republican, but he's always been a Democrat, and his thinking is far more Democratic.
I don't think it is.
Well, okay, it doesn't really matter.
All right, the
fact is, it's his money.
We don't have to be an equal opportunity deprecator here. The fact is, Democrats are Americans, we don't have to disparage them. They are basically honest, especially at the upper levels, where they're well-educated liberals. They are honest because they believe that that's the right thing to do.
Well, I think a lot of people will disagree with that.
Or other lower levels of government, and you can find chicanery and people who are not real Democrats, who are pretending to be Democrats, and they're not urban liberals.
But Mr. Kim, you understand that there are some very decent, honest Republicans. You understand that?
There are people who vote Republican who are decent and honest if they're well-educated liberals, but they don't run for office.
Well, you don't have to
I looked at Rockefeller. I thought he was a good Republican. He came up with the Rockefeller drug laws. He was financially corrupt, gave $500,000 of his own money to the Port Authority. The fact is these people are in a culture that believes in running government like a business, and anything you can do to sell that product.
Well, okay, I'm going to have to disagree. While there is that, I'm not denying your observations, there are Republican philosophies that are just as decent as Democratic philosophies, pro-life, pro-choice. Okay, there's that. There's capital punishment, yes or no. There's gay marriage, yes or no. Those are legitimate, and they tend to.
They're not legitimate.
Well, they're legitimate questions.
That's educated or modern. That's capital punishment.
They're legitimate questions. They're legitimate viewpoints for people to hold. Some people think gay marriage is proper. Some people think it's not proper. That's a real difference of opinion, and it tends to divide on party lines.
The earth is flat or the earth is round. We can talk about that.
We'll talk about that on our next show. Thank you very much for the call, Mr. Kim.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Okay, I promised you at the beginning that I would give you my review of Speed the Plow. I saved it till the end because we do have a couple of minutes now. You may know of Jeremy Piven. He plays Ari Gold on Entourage, the HBO hit series, which I watch religiously. I really like it. It's funny. It's the airhead stuff, but it's definitely good. And Jeremy Piven is the star of Speed the Plow, along with Raul Esparza. Jeremy Piven, though, is Ari Gold. If I were blindfolded and unaware of his presence in this show, I would have recognized his voice and manner. It's the same character. But that's not a bad thing. As Ari Gold, Piven has earned 3 well-deserved consecutive Emmys for his role in Entourage. But it's not just about Piven as Bobby Gold. As Bobby Gould. Funny that his name is Gold in one and Gould in the other. Raul Esparza is terrific as Charlie Fox, Gould's foil. You can tell a lot about actors by the choices they make. The playwright's lines are words on paper, but the players themselves bring them to life. They create the characters who say the words. They give you the inflections, the body language, the movement. Truly creative actors make compelling choices, and Esparza is master at that. The 3-person cast is rounded out by the engaging and comely Elizabeth Moss, who plays Karen. I love to see attractive actresses who really know how to act and really look good on stage. Forgive me for that, but I do. I'm a guy. She is a temp who gets caught up in the high-tension world of movie production. She enters the world of co-producers Bob and Charles, that's Piven and Esparza, and turns them upside down even as her own world goes topsy-turvy. After all she wanted was a job. She's a temp. But when she was invited to read a book which is not likely to be made into a movie, she gets immersed and champions making that movie. And all this because Bob bet Charles that he could get her into bed that night. Well, maybe he does and maybe he doesn't. See the play if you want the answer to that. Far be it from me to spoil that for you. Some big philosophical questions arise here, as they tend to in cerebral David Mamet's plays. Is it satisfying for a producer to make big bucks by pandering rather than making quality creative films? Or is making a solid, well-plotted, unique movie which doesn't score the big bucks a more satisfying life? Is sex a tool to be used by attractive women to gain an advantage in this world? Or is it a mutually satisfying act spun by people of like mind and emotional commitment? Timeless questions, and we ask them over and over again. Actually, it's one of the better aspects of this play that it causes those questions to arise in the viewer's mind. It makes one reach for the puzzles in one's own philosophy to search for answers to universal questions which spring from Mamet's dialogues. At one point, Piven's character says he believes in a book, and Esparza retorts, "I believe in the Yellow Pages, but I don't want to make a movie out of it." Great. Another snappy bit of repartee Fox says about women: how do we do it? Work. How do they do it? Sex. Well, if you like a play which makes you think and ponder about your own values, go see Speed the Plow. It starts a bit slow, it gains momentum, and maintains it to the end. I'd like to thank Greg Palas for squeezing us into his enormously busy schedule. When he is not accommodating media requests to keep us informed, he writes sharp to the point books and articles, etc. Our thought for the week: success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. If you love what you are doing, you will be successful. Stay tuned to WVOX for Howard Sterman. Thank you very much for listening. And remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.
Join Bob at 10 a.m. every other Thursday for Environmentally Sound on 1460 WVOX and worldwide at WVOX.com. This is the flagship station of Whitney Media, live.